WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Striking auto workers will get a show of support from President Biden when he visits them on the picket line in Michigan today. Steve Greger is among the almost 19,000 who walked off their jobs 12 days ago.
The end goal is to end tiered wages, bring back cost of living allowance that we used to have. You know, we're fighting for other things, pensions, those were taken away. There's job security issues.
Former President Trump plans to visit picketers tomorrow as both he and Mr. Biden vie for working class voters in next year's election. In Washington, the Senate plans to vote on a short-term spending bill today to keep the government up and running. But Republicans in the House are still divided. CBS's Jared Hill.
Congress is in crisis mode with just 5 days until a government shutdown. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy frustrated with his own party.
Why would they want to stop paying the troops or stop paying the border agents or the Coast Guard? I don't understand how that makes you stronger. I don't understand what point you're trying to make.
A group of hardline Republicans lobbying for deep spending cuts is pushing for a shutdown, emboldened by former President Trump, who posted on social media, unless you get everything, shut it down.
Hundreds of thousands more people will become eligible for free health insurance in North Carolina December 1st through expanded Medicaid. Democratic Governor Roy Cooper.
We finally know the date of the start of life-saving health care for North Carolinians. And it's a good feeling.
Cooper signed a landmark Medicaid law in March, removing his state from a list of 11 that hadn't accepted expansion. The border crisis is slowing down trade between the U.S. and Mexico. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
As many as 8,000 trucks carrying $1 billion worth of goods are stranded along the Mexican side of the border. That is, the U.S. shuts down crossings and imposes extra security checks. The backup is causing some plants in Mexico to shut down production. U.S. Border Authority suspended cargo processing at one of El Paso's international bridges last week to shift officers to process more migrants.
Some rare good news on climate. CBS's Vicki Barker is at the foreign desk.
Fatih Birol, the head of the International Energy Agency, admits that greenhouse gas emissions from burning fossil fuels remain stubbornly high. But with spending on renewable energy up 40% in the past 2 years, and with more and more of us driving electric vehicles, he says he's optimistic that the world might yet be able to mitigate the worst effects of climate change.
S&P futures are down 19. Dow futures off 131. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today. Now in the foot care aisle.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, September 26th. I could tell you what national or world day it is, but I think today is a record. There are 16 different entries over on the various websites that track national days for this, that, or the other thing. You'd like to hear them all? Sure. Okay, here we go. It's National Johnny Appleseed Day, because we mentioned in our last segment he was born this day. It's a Better Breakfast Day. It's National Family Day. National Chimichanga Day. National Pancake Day. Wasn't that an old Saturday Night Live skit where they wrapped a pancake in a chimichanga and then wrapped a pizza around that? Anyway, chimichangas and pancakes, it's your day today. Let's see, for you office types, today is National Human Resource Professionals Day. It's National Compliance Officers Day. More food, it's National Dumpling Day, Key Lime Pie Day. It's Alpaca Day, Lumberjack Day, Love Note Day. It's National Law Enforcement Suicide Awareness Day, Mesothelioma Awareness Day, World Day of Migrants and Refugees, and National Day of Praise and Worship. So a lot of different groups doing a lot of different things on this Tuesday, September 26th. Coming up this hour, so much to do, but so little help. State Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard knows that there should be an ambitious to-do list for the fall session here in the Wisconsin legislature at the state capitol in Madison. Still looks like Republican leadership would rather do little to nothing at all, but we'll ask her about some of the various issues being considered out there. We'll talk to Chad Holmes as well. His program comes next on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau on the Civic Media Radio Network, and you can catch that through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or the Civic Media app as well. Or you can join us here on this show, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Sam Davison is running the control board down in Madison, right near the state capitol, up at the top of State Street there, on this what is supposedly National Better Breakfast Day. Inquiring minds want to know, what does a broadcast producer whose work shift starts before 6 a.m., does he have an actual breakfast before work, or does he scoot out of there at 8:01 and go grab a big breakfast someplace?
Usually I eat at home. I'm not super in a rush, but I don't feel overly ambitious in the morning, so usually it's just cereal. This morning I wanted something warm because it was rainy, so I made some oatmeal.
Oh, very nice. And what do we have in our oatmeal?
It's just like instant oatmeal. I think I had.
Not the instant oatmeal. Oh, young Sam.
It's what
young
I grew Sam. Up on. I don't know.
I know. So did, well, I did sort of, but I also had this, I also had a grandma, a nice Polish grandma who, would cook us some old fashioned oats. And at some point, you reach a point and I made the instant packets for my daughters for a while as well. And at some point, we can do better than this. And, the difference is 30 seconds versus 5 minutes. And 5 minutes of cooking that oatmeal, on the stovetop just makes all the difference. Well, not all the difference in the world. It just makes it better. So
made with love.
made with love. My wife is partial to blueberries and hers. I'm partial to strawberries and mine, a little bit of brown sugar in there. And that is, you know, when we say better breakfast day, it's not that we're inventing something new. I'd say go back to an old fashioned breakfast, you know.
Yeah.
We eat way too much processed stuff. So if you can avoid that, I don't think that would be necessarily a bad thing to do. But looking at some of these other things, I mean, yeah, pancake could be part of your better breakfast. I am a big chimichanga fan. Key lime pie, not so much. You a key lime pie fan?
I don't know if I've ever had a key lime pie, actually.
It's not something you see a lot up in this part of the country compared to, you know, down, say, Florida and the Caribbean. Yep. And as far as National Dumpling Day, I mean, I'll take dump again. Coming back to my grandma, she made the most amazing dumplings, and I don't think people get those nearly enough these days.
I mean,
I would bet you probably haven't had much for dumplings.
Not much, no, not really. Since I got to Madison, there's been like one or two dumpling places I've went to, but growing up, I never had them.
Yeah, and again, they can be done wrong, like anything, you know, and just be very, you know, bready. But boy, when done right, and they're kind of moist and got some flavor in there, and in a good either homemade chicken noodle soup or something like that, you know, these are good things.
I'm getting hungry just talking about all this food.
I know. Look at us. And it's not like my old show. I think I mentioned the story once before how I had a show at my first gig out of college at WAQE in Rice Lake. And I did a show from Heckle's Big Steer in Cedar Mall. Cedar Mall is still there, but Heckle's Big Steer no longer is. But after the 7:30 news, I'd have to race down the road and set up a little portable studio. And we'd do a show from 8 to 9 with guests in there. And then, you know, at 9 o'clock, as soon as the show was off, I'd order breakfast. I'd had a nice hot breakfast every morning, sitting at that breakfast counter, you know, just kind of passing some time with my guests.
Living the
that
life.
Was, I mean, truly the good old days.
Yeah, that's like a good gig right there.
It was, and it was totally not supposed to happen. For folks that didn't hear the story previously, after the first month of doing that show, my boss calls me into his office and holds up a piece of paper and says, "What is this?" And I said, "What?" He says, "It's a bill for like 20 breakfasts." And I said, "Yeah, you said if I would do the show that I could get breakfast out of the deal." He said, "I meant you could get yourself breakfast while you're there." I said, "Well, that's not how I took it. And, you know, if we want to keep doing the show," and he grudgingly said yes. And so that's how I finagled my way into free breakfast on the boss for doing a morning show.
Nice.
We've got to work out a deal like that for you, young Sam. I think we can do that. So,
yeah, there's no like restaurant here at the Civic Media headquarters, though.
We can do something here. I know we can do better, and that's going to be one of my projects for you here. We will unpack some of the news coming up in just a bit and get the weatherology forecast and a sports check too. Wherever you're listening this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. And not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
93.5 The Tap.
All right, as noted earlier, it was on this day in 1987 that Whitney Houston scored the fifth of seven consecutive. Well, there's been a storm system sitting over the top of Wisconsin. It's been doing its usual sit and spin thing, as systems like this are wont to do. And when that happens, you end up getting a lot of precipitation in some areas. Like I said, 0.9 inch over the past 24 hours up here in the backyard. It's 61 degrees here on Lake Wissota, 62 in Madison, 63 in Waukesha. La Crosse at 62, Wausau 59, Wisconsin Rapids 60 degrees, Green Bay 63, Hayward 57. Now let's get a check on that forecast, see how that rain is going to progress today. And how things are looking for midweek here with Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, who joins us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. And like you said, I mean, it looks like there's that system that's just sitting over the state of Wisconsin right now. And so we're still looking at a chance for showers and storms across the board today. Temperatures, for the most part, not moving around too much from where we're currently at. Mid to upper 60s expected for highs, but a lot of listening areas are already in the low to mid 60s. So holding pretty steady for the most part, a little cooler in the upper 50s to start out the day around central and west central Wisconsin. On Wednesday, it looks like a similar forecast for southern Wisconsin, mid to upper 60s with a chance for showers throughout the daytime. Just a slight chance for showers from Oshkosh over to Amory and Baldwin with highs in the mid 60s over there. For your day, for the second half of the work week, it looks like a fairly dry forecast for everyone. Cloudy skies on Thursday with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s, so slightly warmer for some. Then by Friday, it does look like a sunny day finally coming in and a warmer day overall as well. Highs in the mid to low 70s with the warmest spot around Richland Center getting into the upper 70s.
It's just sad because it means that when it finally warms up, that's the day I've got to clean everything out of the pontoon because the boat will be getting pulled out of the water for the winter after this coming weekend. But, you know, at least I won't be doing it in freezing rain or something. Right, Jennifer?
Exactly right.
All right. Hey, have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too.
And it's Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology joining us this morning. Brewers were off yesterday. They begin their final homestand starting tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Three against the Cardinals, three against the Cubs. And then we'll see how the postseason shapes up. The Brewers have clinched a postseason berth. They have not sewn up the division title yet, but all it takes is for the Brewers to win one of these final six games or the Cubs to lose one of their final games. So assuming the Brewers don't lose six in a row and the Cubs don't win six in a row, you're going to have the Brewers clinching the division going into the wild card. There are still at least four teams vying for two of the wild card spots. And so it's still anybody's guess how the final brackets are going to look for the playoffs. But it looks quite likely like the Brewers will be hosting a first round playoff game against one of the wild card teams. That would take place at American Family Field next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday if necessary. It's a best two out of three in that opening round of the playoffs. You can catch the Brewers from WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM, or in the Fox Valley, catch them on Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM. Let's unpack some more of the headlines on this Monday morning. A watchdog group has filed a lawsuit against Robin Voss's super secret panel studying the possibility of impeaching newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The group known as American Oversight has sued Voss frequently in the past over public records and Voss's inability, it seems, to keep good public and open records, primarily over the failed and never meant to succeed investigation by former Wisconsin Justice Bill Gableman over the 2020 election. But now, with Voss saying that he's got this a secret group of three former justices advising him, and he won't say who they are, well, American Oversight is now filing a lawsuit saying that this panel appointed by Voss constitutes a government body and therefore is required by state law to meet in public, according to reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The complaint was filed in Dane County Circuit Court. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss established the panel of three former state Supreme Court justices earlier this month as he considers taking the unprecedented step of impeaching Justice Protasiewicz. Again, he has refused to say who is on the panel. Several other media and insider types have a pretty good guess of which former justices that includes. It does not include Gableman, apparently. But regardless, this group of either advisors or a panel or what have you, operating in secret is pretty par for the course for Voss and the Republicans, and American Oversight, as I mentioned, has successfully made the case several times. You got to stop doing that. You got to conduct the public's business in public. And you should try to follow the rules while you're at it, like, you know, abiding by elections, not trying to, you know, hold imaginary votes to fire the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission so that you can forward misinformation about the 2020 election. And all of these things wouldn't have to be worked on at all if you abided by the will of the voters and focused on the job you're supposed to be doing. And that's what we're going to talk to Melissa Agard about, state senator, who is the minority leader in the Wisconsin State Senate, about the issues that the legislature should be working on instead this fall. And we will be talking to her about that in about 10 minutes. Also, over the weekend was the Cap Times in Madison having their Ideas Fest or Idea Fest panel discussion. And former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, along with Lynn Cheney, one of the few Republican members of Congress with a spine willing to stand up to Donald Trump and to all the lies told about the 2020 election, Kinzinger specifically called out Green Bay Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher for his decision not to vote guilty on Donald Trump's impeachment trial, the one that came up after the attacks of January 6th. And, you know, for Kinzinger, it was a surprise because Gallagher had been one of those folks who after the election, but before January 6th, Gallagher had been critical of Trump and others who were spreading lies and misinformation about the presidential election and the integrity of the results. And yet he declined to vote to impeach Trump after the insurrection, and Kinzinger said that that was done simply out of concern for his own re-election chances. Lawrence Andrea of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that Gallagher's office, in response, called the comments utter nonsense. Kinzinger said, basically at the panel discussion in Madison on Saturday about Gallagher, quote, "What the hell do you need this job so bad for? I don't get it." And Mike Gallagher was one of those. He says, "Mike Gallagher was, I think, an iota away from voting to impeach. And then a month later, he's kind of on the front lines against Liz Cheney. How do you make a pivot that quickly?" Well, that's a question a lot of us have asked and continue to ask from, you know, Lindsey Graham on. The people who at first, you know, Scott Walker was another one of them, who at first could not have been more critical of Donald Trump. And then something happened. Something was said or something, you know, they looked at something a different way. And whatever it was, suddenly they were Trump sycophants. Now, nobody's going to refer to Gallagher necessarily as a Trump sycophant, but it was rather puzzling that this person who has been a Trump critic couldn't bring himself to actually vote for impeachment. Kinzinger said, "Look, I still like Mike. I appreciate what he's doing with the China task force, you know, Republicans and Democrats working together," he says. "But when democracy was on the line, what did you guys do? What did you do? Why is it like this?" Kinzinger said. During the insurrection, you know, Gallagher tweeted a video message from his office urging Trump to call off his supporters and referred to the riot as banana republic crap. But Gallagher then, you know, voted against impeaching Trump on charges of inciting violence. He's remained largely silent about Trump and his efforts to overturn the election. Gallagher said that the impeachment effort at the time was not wise and rushed and partisan. I don't know that there's anything partisan about a violent insurrection. And again, it comes with the territory of being a good citizen that if you're going to take part in a two-party system, you'd better be willing to call out the bad apples in your own party. And not just privately, not just cluck about them when you know they're not listening, but really call them out publicly. And that's where, again, the list of Democrats calling out New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is growing, but it's growing far too slowly for somebody who has the kind of charges against him that he does and the kind of past that he has. You have to have this willingness, whether you're a Democrat talking about Bob Menendez or Al Franken or Hunter Biden, as a Republican does against Donald Trump. Although, again, I would argue the burden is even heavier on Republicans and they should be judged more harshly for not speaking out because, again, of the very nature of what Trump and company are doing in trying to overturn the will of the voters, trying to undermine democracy, attacking the integrity of American elections, attacking democracy itself. That isn't being spoken out more forcefully, that the people who do speak out, like Kinzinger, like Liz Cheney, like others, have been hounded out of Congress, have been hounded out of their own party, indicates the failure of that major American political party to represent essentially the right half of the political spectrum for America. They do not. There are so many conservative-minded Americans who feel politically homeless right now. They don't feel like they can vote for a Democrat, but a lot of them have the good patriotic sense to say, we may have to in one or two instances, rather than vote for people who are openly hostile to democracy, who are openly welcoming of a potential autocrat to take control of the country once again. And I put some of that responsibility as well on the U.S. Justice Department, which, again, is bringing its cases now, and they say it's taken this long because they've been very thorough. But I also think that the conditions are such that when you have essentially the equivalent of a national emergency, if this would be like after Pearl Harbor being bombed, and instead of days, taking months or years to say, I think the Japanese might be responsible and we ought to do something about this. It's not quite to the level of warfare, but it's also much more serious than it seems some people had been taking it for the first year or so after the insurrection. So now those wheels of justice are turning slowly, hopefully inevitably.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. President Biden will join striking auto workers on the picket line in Michigan today as he vies for the working class vote next year. This woman striking in Naperville, Illinois, she says WIC recipients would be at risk.
We would like to see all of our younger employees and our retirees all be able to support themselves.
Lawmakers in the House will try to pass spending bills today to keep parts of the government funded past Sunday. Fairfield, California Mayor Catherine Moy.
Some of the things that we'll do is make sure that our food banks are okay because there'll be an increase in people who need them.
600,000 more North Carolinians will be eligible for government health insurance December 1st. Democratic Governor Roy Cooper.
The Republicans insisted that Medicaid expansion be tied to the budget, even though it was unnecessary. Now, after months of waiting, the budget has passed and Medicaid expansion will happen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five
minutes.
It was
a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest. Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to Hot Gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
And I am joined now by Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard. Senator, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Pat.
There are so many things that we can cover here in a session. I do want to start, though, with something that you have been very vocal about, have been showing leadership on in terms of Wisconsin being an island around the Midwest, and that is bringing back legislation that would legalize marijuana use in Wisconsin. Tell me and tell the folks again why it is a priority, what it is that Wisconsin is either missing out on or you know, being harmful about by not finally addressing this issue that has such public support.
Well, we know that Wisconsin is truly an island of prohibition now, with Minnesota becoming the 23rd state in the United States to legalize cannabis for responsible adult usage, joining Michigan and Illinois for responsible adult usage. And then even Iowa has more liberties in its laws for access to medicinal cannabis than the state of Wisconsin. There was a recent study that was conducted this summer before Minnesota passed their bill that shows that over 50% of adults 21 and older live within 75 minutes of a legal dispensary. That means that if you look at the map of Wisconsin and that border along the Mississippi River, which has direct impacts to your listeners, that as soon as Minnesota opens up their legal dispensaries, that that number is going to fall drastically. On top of the fact that in Wisconsin, we know there's a really successful illicit industry And it is vitally important for our safety, for our prosperity, as well as for honoring people's personal liberties and freedoms, that we do legalize cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. Otherwise, we're going to continue falling behind, and that's not good for anyone.
And from a purely fiscal standpoint, we're talking, what, tens of millions of dollars here being lost?
Quite frankly, probably closer to $160 million in tax revenue and potentially billions of dollars of economic stimulus that we are losing out because we do not have legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. Those numbers will climb when we look at how much money our local governments will save when police officers, law enforcement, and our criminal justice system is not charging people for possessing cannabis, simply possessing, not even utilizing cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. And this is a social equity issue. This is something that will help us address our egregious racial disparities in the state of Wisconsin, as well as investments in our agricultural heritage. So moving forward with cannabis legalization, quite frankly, is good for all of Wisconsin, urban and rural, Black and white. And we've seen coalitions supporting cannabis legalization, unlike any other coalition that I have seen, with most topics that cross the desks of us here in the Capitol building.
And I'm not saying that, and you're not saying that this is going to pass anytime soon, because frankly, we've seen the almost childish reaction to certain Republican leaders in the legislature who just want to make it a simple statement like, well, the Democratic agenda is to smoke weed, you know, but the more this bill comes up and the more you talk about the actual fiscal and other statistics and consequences in Wisconsin, the issue becomes much more real than some kind of a Republican punchline, it feels.
Absolutely. You know, I know that I am the butt of many jokes right now, being the leader of this topic for over a decade. And once he introduced the bill, you know, clearly folks within the troll world start rearing their heads and I'm coming out and attacking. But I have people calling my office on a daily basis, sending emails, stopping me in the grocery store, visiting me on my grassroots tour, which we're going out on the second leg. I will be way up in Superior on Wednesday night for the grassroots tour part two. And those people say, you know, Melissa, I may not vote for you or your party when it comes to voting at the top of the ticket, but you are right on this. This is how we move Wisconsin forward. It's how we support our main streets and small towns. It's how we make sure that our kids stay here as opposed to being exported to other places. It's how we reinvest in our agricultural heritage. Our farmers are looking for things that they can do to diversify their crops and be able to take care of their own families, address racial disparities. And on top of that, as you pointed out, there's a big fat cherry of dollars. You know, there are a lot of reasons why it is that cannabis prohibition in Wisconsin is not working. Margarine prohibition didn't work. Alcohol prohibition did not work. And cannabis prohibition is not working. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And folks, it's about the details. The devil is in the details with all policymaking. And we've heard the Republicans talk about wanting to introduce a bill for medicinal cannabis. But frankly, what I am hearing in the halls of the Capitol building is it will be more restrictive than what Minnesota had with their medicinal bill, with no plants, no grow your own, very limited afflictions that would be accessible, as well as the legislature choosing which doctors can be prescribers. That's not the Wisconsin way. That's not what I've heard about for over a decade. And I'm going to continue beating this drum, driving around the state and meeting with people where they are, because we haven't been able to get a public hearing. And that is my goal this time, is to be able to at least have a public hearing in the Capitol building to talk about cannabis prohibition and moving forward.
And the fact that there is this disconnect with a legislature with an issue that has such broad public support, again, is one of the many things that is testament to the gerrymandered nature of our maps and the unrepresentative nature of our state representatives. And yet, now that there is finally the hint at some justice in the state Supreme Court, we have Republicans having what appears at first to be some kind of a deathbed conversion and wanting what they claim is Iowa-style reform. I am sure you've heard from people saying, Senator Agard, if the Republicans are finally coming over to your side, you know, why oppose that? Well, what do you tell them in return?
Well, this is not Iowa-style reform. This is Boss-style reform. And Speaker Boss has a long track record of rigging things in his own favor and in the favor of his party and his big-time donors. the policy that they have brought forward without even allowing a public hearing through the assembly, without allowing experts from across the nation, as well as ordinary Wisconsinites, to lift their voices up and ask questions and think about how it is that we can make this bill better and actually look like fair and nonpartisan redistricting for the state of Wisconsin, has been usurped by Speaker Voss. I would love to get the wheels back on this bus, so to speak, and be able to talk about how it is that we can have the people of Wisconsin choosing their elected officials, as opposed to powerful people like Robin Voss choosing who they represent and continuing to rig the system for their own political gain. And as you pointed out, it's because of that rigged system that we don't have the ability for people to make bodily autonomy decisions when it comes to access to abortion in the state of Wisconsin. It's because of the lopsidedness that we're not addressing PFAS contamination in the state of Wisconsin. It's because of the lopsided system that we haven't expanded healthcare access for everyone in the state of Wisconsin, or that we haven't legalized cannabis. We're not funding our public schools or protecting our public lands, right? The list goes on and on. These are things that don't matter to people because they have an R next to their name. These are things that matter to people because they're Wisconsinites and they love our state and love their friends and neighbors and family.
And one of those, again, very popular things is making sure that childcare is affordable. We're in a fall legislative session and a special session where this should have been addressed long ago. It is still sitting out there, along with other things like, a tax cut more geared toward the middle class, support for the University of Wisconsin system. And again, one of the favorite guessing games, I guess, to put it, charitably, is whether on these and other things we will eventually see something either on some separate issues, or if things will be rather bundled up in much the same way that aid to municipalities and aid to schools, had a bit of an agreement between Republicans and the governor. Is there anything that we should be looking for? Do we know that there's anything in the works right now that would make this fall session a productive one?
Well, I certainly hope so, because people in Wisconsin are frustrated with the divisiveness. They're frustrated with people standing in their corners and building silos as opposed to building bridges and solving the problems that are faced by ordinary people at their kitchen tables. And certainly the childcare crisis of Wisconsin, whether we're talking about the really unrespectful wages that the folks who are the workforce behind the workforce are taking care of our most precious future, our kids. That needs to be addressed. The fact that we have childcare deserts all across the state of Wisconsin, not enough slots for the number of children that need to be able to have them. Whether we're talking about quality childcare for our kids with high standards for the teachers and good student to teacher ratios, or as a business owner, knowing that you're going to be able to hire people to work these jobs and that those people are going to have a safe place for their kids to go. This is an economic crisis in the state of Wisconsin that the Republicans, quite frankly, are they're continuing to dig in for political gain, and that inaction is harming folks and our future in the state of Wisconsin. And that list is long, whether it's paid family medical leave, increasing wages, making sure that we have workers' protections and union rights in the state of Wisconsin, or very simply ensuring that every child in the state of Wisconsin has access to comprehensive, high quality, affordable childcare so that their parents can go to work and that they're provided with everything that they need to become healthy, productive citizens as they grow up. We're missing the mark in the Capitol building, and there's a lot of work to do.
Right, because in part, these are things that affect real Wisconsin families every single day. And yet we find ourselves once again being taken into places that most families don't care to follow, don't want to follow, and yet are equally vital, if not more vital, in the area of protecting democracy. So you have what I consistently refer to as an imaginary vote to fire Megan Wolf, because there was no such motion before the Senate. You now have people in the Assembly talking about trying to impeach her. You've had this discussion of trying to impeach a sitting state Supreme Court justice and Janet Protasiewicz, which is all to say what in terms of the priorities that you're seeing on the other side of the political aisle? Are these genuine attacks on democracy? Are these diversions away from the kitchen table issues we just talked about? What is your read on why these are even points of discussion in the capital of the state of Wisconsin?
To me, they are some of the most chilling attacks on democracy that I think our nation has seen. The fact that we have fair and secure and well-run elections in the state of Wisconsin, that Megan Wolf is one of the most revered election officials in our nation. And we have had our election studied time and time again. The results are clear that Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin. But these elected officials on the other side of the aisle continue to attack her for being pragmatic and going to work and doing the right thing for our state. Election clerks around the state of Wisconsin, who again, I know vote for Democrats and Republicans, appreciate the work that Megan Wolf and the Elections Commission provides them. On top of the fact that Janet Protasiewicz won an election with an 11-point margin in a state that considers a 2-point margin a landslide, she was clear that she was standing up for our democracy in the state of Wisconsin and for women's bodily autonomy through her campaign. Her First Amendment rights, her freedom of speech, are not erased because she's running for the courts. She did not pre-litigate these cases. She talked about facts and science through her election. And what we see here in Wisconsin is the Republicans, again, feeling like the rocks that have been in their hand for over a decade are turning to sand. They are terrified that they're not going to have control of the state of Wisconsin in perpetuity, as Michael said when he was running for governor of our state, and we have heard other elected officials from that side of the aisle. I may be the minority leader in the Capitol building because the Democrats hold the minority of seats, but we know that Democrats in the Capitol building are fighting for the majority of the values of the people across the state of Wisconsin, and the people need to be able to vote for their values and their voices in the Capitol building and not know that their votes matter and their votes count. And elected officials who put their names on the ballots need to know that they should be able to go to work and do the work that their constituents have sent them to do without the fear of impeachment. Who's next, Robin Voss? Who is next?
Senator Melissa Agard is the Democratic leader here in the Wisconsin State Senate in Madison. Senator Agard, thank you so much for the update on this and many issues. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Pat.
You know, I was looking at the history books here and noticing, again, on the topic of states acting on the well-being of their citizens. It was 62 years ago yesterday that Wisconsin's legislature was the first to pass a bill that required seatbelts in the front seats of automobiles. And some of us are still old enough to remember the days when there weren't seatbelts. There was rope or nothing at all in some cases in the back of some of those station wagons. But there was a push in the 60s, and the industry pushed back, and conservatives pushed back and said, you know, government doesn't have a place requiring this. But Wisconsin did back in 1961, and said the first cars in the 1962 model year have to have seat belts in the front seat if you want to sell cars in the state of Wisconsin. And you can imagine what the conservatives of that time had to say about it. I would say, looking back 62 years later, it may not be exactly measurable how many lives were saved, but a whole lot of lives are saved because of public servants who actually care about the people they serve. Chad Holmes up next. You're up north.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 68. For tonight, scattered storms with a low near 60. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 67. On Thursday, partly sunny, 70 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 60 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
And of course, it would be the music at the top of the Chad Holmes Show that you'll hear next on Bull Falls Radio. We'll talk to Chad in just a sec. But Bill's been hanging on the line from Oconomowoc and just talking briefly about minority control of the legislature. Bill, go ahead. How are you?
Great topic, as always. You know, it's time for your listeners, myself included, and I have and I will continue to start calling these people, specifically Robin Voss's office. And I wanted some answers how he fails to represent the majority and holds on to the minority. His interns are well-trained to deflect the calls. But the bottom line is, if we, the listeners, don't take what you're talking about to heart and do something, we just have to live with what we have. It's not democracy. It's the, and it's just time to wake up and give Robin Voss his eviction notice. He has to go. He is not an asset to the state. He never has been. Call him out. Demand he comes on the radio, whatever. There's all kinds of concepts. You've got great listeners and great input to everything you do. So keep carrying the flag. We're up the hill with you. We're shoulder to shoulder. Keep it up. Thanks. Great topic.
Thank you, Bill, so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Chad Holmes now from up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, joins us 8 to 10 on weekday mornings, getting set for the Tuesday edition of his program. Chad, good morning. How are you?
I tell you, those are big shoes to fill. That was a good call. Good call.
Yes, and our friend Renee writing in on Facebook as well. Yes, get loud, Wisconsin. Make those calls. And we talked to yesterday, we talked to Luann Bird. And we've been, her soundbite's been put up on the Civic Media website as well, about the conversations that can still be had either with Republican lawmakers or with members of their staff. And while that is a slow, tedious process compared to writing a bill, passing a bill, when that's not an option here, then you have to have those conversations and let people know what the human cost of inaction is. Now, some would say that after 12 years of Republican control, it hasn't done a lot of good, but I guess Luann and others would rightfully say, what have you got to lose by continuing to try to engage, have those conversations with your neighbors, with your elected officials, with their staff members? Because if we all just tune out, then yeah, the people who choose to plug into politics will call the shots, whether they have public support or not.
There's really no shortcuts, is there, to change?
No.
It's a long, hard slog. It really is. If there was an easy answer, I think we'd have it by now. It's just where you have to fight, day by day, step by step. And again, I wish there were easier ways, because there are times, I'm sure, that, especially for the activists that work so hard each and every day, I'm certain that there's a sense of fatigue, that why aren't we seeing the change that we want when we still have the numbers that we have in Madison in this state. I mean, God darn it. I mean, we're still, we're lumped with a group of states, southern states, red states, in terms of, some of the policies we have and we have not been able to implement in this state. So there's obviously a lot of reason to be frustrated, but it really is a slow progression that you have to take it one step at a time. And as difficult as sometimes that is to say and to hear.
Well, and again, when you can lock yourself into control through gerrymandering, as they did, you've got a mindset that is a minority mindset, compared to the rest of Wisconsin and Wisconsin values. It's a mindset that would continue to stay in the minority because of its views on things like, government should be functional and operable. It should levy taxes to provide services efficiently. It should stand for racial justice and environmental protection. Those are all Wisconsin values. But if you're a minority party that can somehow rig the game to be in control, you know, other people will kind of sign on to that going, oh, well, they're in power for a reason. They must have the majority on their side. And I do feel for the activists all these years who've been trying to let people know, your values are the ones in the mainstream, but we need you to show up on election day or to run for office, as the case may be. And it is something that's always going on. And it's why, you know, we started Up North News. It's why Civic Media got started, was to provide the information and then to provide the motivation for people to increase their level of civic engagement.
One of the interesting things about what you just said is you talked about a number of those issues. And normally when it's a situation where you find yourself on the short end of the stick when it comes to some of those issues in terms of a voter approval, that you would go maybe in a different direction. But the way things are set up now is they have to control the far right of their party, so they in fact go the other direction. And, you know, it's one of those interesting things where sometimes you see where, you know, you go back even, you know, in the last year or two where you see some states like Kansas and Ohio give surprising votes in terms of women's health care and abortion access. And yet you see the folks, not just here in Wisconsin, but I think many parts of the country that still basically go the other direction, that they put their feet, you know, even firmly, you know, in the sand to say, we're not going to go in that direction. And that's, again, that shows the whole problem of the gerrymander and
campaign financing, the money.
Yeah, exactly. Because naturally you would think that, you know, when you see results like that, it would moderate the other way. But no, in this situation, you see them actually moving even further away from where a majority of the people are standing.
That's right. And it reminds me, I haven't mentioned this for a while, but there was a book written by former Minnesota U.S. Senator Dave Durenberger. And the book is called When Republicans Were Progressive. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. There are things that are specific to Minnesota, yes, but there are also things that you look at the parallel in Wisconsin, and it's striking about how, as you know, more money creeps in and, you know, more power creeps in, that it does lead parties to go toward a more extreme direction, when it was Republicans who were the original progressives, the original looking out for working men and women, and that Republicans up to and a little bit beyond Ronald Reagan's presidency, we're still saying, hey, how do we solve this problem, but solve it in a way that maybe doesn't spend as much money as Democrats do or whatnot, but still solves a problem? We now have a Republican Party that has no interest in solving problems, unless it's the problems of Wall Street and oil companies and things like that. But that's why you see this potential for a government shutdown. They don't care to solve the problem.
It's actually one of those things that annoys me a lot, because I know history. And when some Republicans today, conservative Republicans, talk about how we're the party that ended slavery, we're the party that passed civil rights, you couldn't have done it without us. The Republican Party
talking about riding on somebody else's coattails.
The whole thing was back in the, you know, in those eras, the Republican Party was the liberal party and the Democratic Party was a conservative party. You know, so you know, we have these labels of these parties that I think give some cover. That, well, we haven't always been, you know, far to the right. We've actually done good things. Well, yeah, no.
Well, what have you done for me lately, right?
No, the liberals who did it. So, yeah.
Totally that. Chad's got a full show coming up at 8 o'clock. Nice to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Appreciate it very much. JT Seskowski, Madison reporter, is going to join us to talk about labor issues around Wisconsin. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. You can follow me on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow Up North, or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter as well. Have yourself a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.